Hello friends, Patrick McFarlane here of the Liberty Big League podcast. And just a reminder, this is the B-side podcast of the Liberty Weekly podcast, where I am free to talk about things that do not fit within the realm of the Liberty Weekly podcast, which I guess is libertarianism generally, but also libertarian legal theory. Today in this episode, I'm going to be talking about a tweet that I saw the other day. I don't know if it was yesterday, but it was a tweet saying, commenting on the fact that who here is a libertarian that does not have a podcast? And I thought it was pretty funny because it kind of hit on the point that there has been somewhat of an explosion of libertarian podcasts lately, especially in the Twitter sphere. And, well, yes, maybe I might agree with the fact that the libertarian podcast niche might be a little oversaturated right now, especially with B-side, what I would refer to as the second tier of libertarian podcasting. There might be a third tier, but I don't know. Maybe the third tier would be people with shows that have less than 30 downloads per episode total. Maybe that would be the third tier. But the second tier I'm referring to would be, I don't know, people like myself, people like my friends in the Libertarian Union, people that have maybe less than 2,000 downloads per episode, maybe people that have, let's say, maybe 500 downloads per episode up to 10,000 downloads per episode would be the B side, or, you know, maybe even, let's say, 500 episodes to 20,000 or 30,000 downloads per episode, because I know that Tom Woods gets six figures, I'm pretty sure, downloads per episode. So I guess roughly the first tier of podcasts, I would put your Dave Smiths, maybe your Lines of Liberty, your Tom Woods, your Michael Malice, other figures I'm leaving out maybe. And then perhaps in the second tier, you would have people like myself, Mance Rader, Kyle Anzalone, Kyle Files, or that's the name of his old website, Subversion. No, it's not Subversion News. His website. I just can't think of it right now. It's a little late. Immersion News. That's what his website is. So go check that out. I think it's immersionnews.com. Really great interactive website there. But yeah, I always get in trouble when I feel like I get myself in trouble when I name names like that. But so there's the first tier, obviously, with Tom Woods and, you know, Jason Stapleton too. Thaddeus Russell would be in this tier. Unregistered, I think, might be in this tier. Although some would debate whether or not Jason Stapleton actually is a libertarian. No comment there. I wanted to express the thought that, you know, maybe we are joking about it, and maybe this tweet was joking about, oh, there's way too many libertarian podcasts out there. There's just no time in the day to listen to all of them. And yeah, that may be true. I mean, I'm subscribed to like 100 podcasts in my Podcast Addict app, but you know, I pop in from time to time on different shows. It used to be that I would listen to every single like episode that came up in my recent episodes feed, and one thing, I just have a lot less time than I used to have, but I will bounce around. You know, there was a time when I listened to every single Tom Woods episode, and I feel like sorry, Tom, but it's just, I feel like I've heard so many of those shows, the topics discussed in those shows, and so I'll pop around for maybe one episode every couple of weeks, or whatever really piques my interest, or whenever Michael Bolden is on, or Jeff Deist is on, or Dave Smith is on. But really going into those niche topics, I don't really, because, you know, like I said, a lot of them I've heard before. But, you know, that's just kind of how it is. You have your rotation, and maybe there's two or three shows that you listen to every single episode, and the rest you breeze in and out. You take what piques your interest in the episode title, and I think that's totally fine. That's the way I play it. But I don't think it's a bad thing that the libertarian podcasting sphere is saturated, because I like to think that, you know, everyone has a different two or three shows that they listen to every single episode, and for every person that's different. So you spread a little love around to each show, but you have to think also that for every podcast that's out there, maybe they reach maybe 2 or 3% of their audience draws in new people new to these ideas. And if you get every single show that is drawing in, you know, 10 or 20 people who are not at all aware of the libertarian podcasting community, that is worth it. That's completely 100% worth it, in my opinion. And maybe the only people who really notice the fact that the libertarian podcasting community is oversaturated, well, they have to be niche enough in this community to be aware of all these B-side libertarian podcasts. And let me tell you, like the average Joe, someone who doesn't really spend too much time on Twitter or on the internet in general, probably, I don't know, maybe they wouldn't really know about all these shows or see their social media pages or anything like that. Maybe these people are just kind of searching through the Twitter, or sorry, not Twitter, but searching through iTunes or whatever venue they consume their podcasts through, whether it's Google Play Music, Stitcher, Spotify now has podcasts. There's all these different venues, Podbean, iHeartRadio. And so as people are exploring these things, maybe they go in their own search feed and not every show is featured on these, or they use their own search criteria, or they hear through word of mouth, or there, you know, there are, I think, different circles that are forming around shows and communities of shows in the libertarian podcasting world. You know, for me, I'm part of the Libertarian Institute circle. I'm also part of the Libertarian Union. I'm friends with people who are in the, I guess, what I would identify as being the Fagcast circle. That would be Peaceful Treason, the Fagcast, Tasting Anarchy. Now Mr. Tsu is in it, and I haven't connected with him, but totally into that. There's a new military-minded, I've been just been seeing this guy on Twitter and interacting with him a little bit, where he's friends with the Fagcast guys, and he lives in a house full of ex-military guys who are all kind of voluntarists. I think it's called Biting the Bullet. So that's also interesting to check out. So, yeah, it's all real cool, I think. I kind of talked about this in my first speech ever as a part of the Libertarian, the Liberty Weekly podcast. And this was at Agora Symposium, I think 2018, way back at the beginning of 2018. I spoke during my third year of law school, and I don't remember the episode number, but I published the whole talk in this podcast as well. There was a video of it that I had my wife film on my phone. And so that was on, I had it on Periscope, but I ripped it and I put it on YouTube as well. And it was called The Colonies Parallel Wars for Independence. So go to libertyweekly.net and search that through. I don't know if I'll be able to. Well, maybe I'll put it in the show notes page. So check that there. But I just don't remember what episode number it was. But I was pretty proud of the talk. And I had just spent, because I think we had just driven down to visit my wife's parents in Utah. And I had listened, oh, maybe we took some kind of a road trip. And I was listening to Prof. CJ's series on the American Revolution. And it was incredible. And I learned a whole lot. I think he based a lot of it on Rothbard's Conceived in Liberty, And he was talking about the pamphleteers of the American Revolution. And I had done some research on it for one of my law school classes where I wrote about nullification for my paper. But as a part of it, we read Bernard Bailyn's book. And I can't remember the title offhand, but it's Bernard Bailyn. It was the ideological origins of the American Revolution. And there's a great deal of talking about this national conversation that was taking place amongst dissidents in the American colonies. I thought it was so interesting because a big part of this national conversation were pamphlets. And pamphlets were a new type of publication that emerged during the American Revolution. You had independent printing presses that were set up throughout the colonies, and this allowed people to very cheaply distribute their own penned writings amongst the colonies. And at this time, there were a lot of different people that were writing pamphlets back and forth. Sometimes pamphlets would just be standalone publications, or often there would be a series of pamphlets. The most famous pamphlet was Common Sense, penned by Thomas Paine, of course. And I a sidebar here, I heard a theory that maybe Thomas Paine wasn't actually the author of Common Sense. That was a rumor I heard today in a podcast. I think it was Mance Rayder's podcast, with the guy who was in the Coast Guard fighting Somali pirates in off the coast of Somalia, even though he was in the U.S. Coast Guard, which you would think would guard the coast of the United States. But yeah, that's an aside. So you have all these pamphlets coming out. A lot of times people would publish series of pamphlets. They would lift their voice to be part of the national conversation. And there were a crap load of these pamphlets. A lot of different, I think a lot of them maybe were of different ideologies. My understanding is that perhaps a lot of them were rebellion oriented and in what we would consider secessionists, dissidents, revolutionaries, perhaps. But there could have been Tory pamphlets, perhaps. I just can't remember very much. But central to propagating the ideas of rebellion, I know for a fact there were these pamphlets. And another thing that Bernard Bailyn kind of talks about in his book is how the quality of these pamphlets ranged anything from the high and lofty Thomas Paine to perhaps borderline illiterate and very simple. And I think that's very important. Just that people very much like the pamphleteers. If people in the remnant of what Ron Paul calls the remnant are us in the libertarian community, people who believe in human freedom, essentially, and liberty as a guiding principle, there's a lot of cool talk about the remnant, but if people in the remnant have podcasting, especially as a special kind of medium for all of us to have our own voice, I think that's brilliant. And hey, whether there's a million people, whether there's six figures people listening to your podcast, or whether there's 30 people listening to your podcast regularly, hey, that's 30 people that are listening to you and your ideas. I mean, can you even think about 30 people in your So think in your personal life, who around you cares enough to listen to what you have to say and what you think? I bet you can't even name five people in your own personal life that would care enough about what you have to say and actually listen to you with open ears and consider what you're saying. You can't name five people. I probably couldn't name five people in my life. Okay, maybe I could. But I think it's I'm probably an exception, just maybe 'cause maybe 'cause I'm a lawyer, but a lot of people know that I'm really into this and that I've read a lot and that I've studied it. So just off of them knowing what kind of person I am, they'd be willing to lend an ear to an important issue, but even so, a lot of people don't want to engage with you on these ideas on any substantial level. They might sit and listen to humor you, but their interest quickly wanes. But with a podcast, if you have 30 people who listen to you, 30 downloads per episode, it may seem minuscule, but if you think about it in the broad scope of things, these are 30 people that are coming to listen to what you have to say. They care about it enough to go out of their way to listen and download your episode, listen with open ears, consider what you have to say, and maybe come back, maybe tell someone else, maybe have their mind changed in a little way, or have their interest piqued enough to explore things on them on their own and figure this out. And I think that is wonderful, and it is completely worth it. Whether the person who tweeted this, I'm not just, you know, jumping on them or whatever, because I think it was partly done in jest, you know, like some self-teasing and reflection. But seriously though, it is wonderful. And the fact that, kind of parallel to the American Revolution, that we would have these pamphlets podcasting. Podcasting is the self-publication. It's a revolution, no pun intended. It's a revolution that changes the way that we reach other people, in the same way that pamphleteering itself was a revolution that allowed people, amateurs in some cases, to self-publish their own, that's redundant, but to self-publish their own works and writings and reach a broader audience without having to be some policy wonk, or without having to have the clout to support the infrastructure of what you're doing on a professional level. And just the fact that this is open and available to everyone is just amazing. And I really do think that it's important, and that it's not just in vain. You know, I've been doing this for 2 years now. My anniversary was on Memorial Day, and I'm glad that Anchor allows me to record quick podcasts like this. Really cuts down on my investment and publication time. I think that it really helps me too. It's a good way to kind of verbalize my thoughts and put them down in a recordable, you know, a durable format. So it's also interesting on that level, and it's kind of like a hobby, but also, you know, reaching other people and hopefully inspiring thought and spreading the messages of liberty to them as well. And so if we all had a podcast, maybe we would reach more people, even though the market would be so saturated. But like I said, think if 2 or 3% of your audience are people who are not part of this sphere, they are new ears, then just think how many people we would be spreading these ideas to. So just wanted to comment on that. I know that encouraging other libertarians to podcast has been a big part of my show as well, and also trying to encourage interaction with other people in the libertarian community with my show has been a highlight of what I've tried to do over the 2 years I've done this show. And I think, you know, I have had people come to me saying that I've really helped them understand the ideas. And let me tell you, saturating the libertarian sphere is worth those few emails that you get from people saying that your show specifically helped them understand the ideas of liberty and libertarianism. So yeah, really great. Really great. So don't hesitate on that note, you know, to send me an email at patrick.mcfarlane@libertyweekly.net. That is MacFarlane, MacFarlane@libertyweekly.net. Check out the podcast proper, libertyweekly.net. If you like my work and find it valuable, please support me on Patreon, patreon.com/libertyweekly. There's tons of different tiers and bonuses there, including hours of bonus content, hundreds of bonuses over the 2 years I've been doing the show. Free copies of my ebooks, and all those funds go to help me compensate my producer, who has been helping me tremendously with the Liberty Weekly podcast proper itself and freeing me up to do more research and production for my episodes, that is. So thank you so much for joining me. Check us out at anchor.fm/libertybigly. That is BIGLY. Catch you next time. Peace.